You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
We wanted to make a very special announcement today. And I know we had people actually call and go, is Pastor Bob retiring? It's like, yeah, I'm moving to Kansas. I'm going to raise hogs and chickens, and we're going to have bacon and eggs, okay?
No, he's always said he's dying in the pulpit. I go, just make sure you said amen at the end, then we'll call the ambulance. Yeah, not in the middle.
As you know, Susan received a cancer report earlier this year. And when the cancer report came, it was real clear that it was terminal. And I was told that it probably wouldn't, I probably wouldn't have her here for Christmas. Of course, we beat that. So there was a CAT scan on Thursday, and we were sitting down having dinner, and it's been a long journey. It really has. Yes, it has. Journey hasn't ended, but it's been a long journey. So the CAT scan was taken on Thursday, and we were told to call on Friday. We were sitting at dinner on Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. Get a phone call, and Dr. Powell, great doctor at City Hope, and first thing he says is, are you sitting down? And you know how fast your brain works, faster than your mouth sometimes, which is probably good. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is probably really good or really bad. So I said, okay, hold on. I put him on speakerphone, and Bob and I listened, and he said, I'm looking at your CAT scan. He goes, I can hardly believe it, but he said, there is no evidence of disease. None. So let me say this. Sit down. I got more. This is so good. You know, when you have a testimony this good, when you've been told you have stage 4 cancer and you'll always have it, it'll never go away. This is how it works.
Well, you're told that you won't make it to Christmas.
Yeah. So anyway, so we hung up and he told us again. He goes, I'm looking at it. He goes, there's no evidence of disease.
He said,
so
I don't understand this. Yeah. And I thought, Monday when we see you, we'll explain it.
So we talked about it, and the more we talked about it, we thought, well, maybe he meant it wasn't growing again, because the chemo had only put it into stable, and I tell my doctor, he was excited to stop growing, because it was a very aggressive cancer. It was in my liver, in my lungs, in my lymph nodes, in my abdomen. You know, it took out my kidney. It was everywhere. And so it went into stable for the chemo, and he was excited it had just stopped growing and going to all the organs in my body, and I said, listen, I watch a lot of TV, my brain works. I go, when a person is in accident and their critical condition, when they get better, it's stable. So that's how my cancer was, stable. And I'm going, I want it gone. I kept telling him. And he had a word for the medical whatever, and I go, I want it G-O-N-E, gone. So the more Bob and I talked about it, we thought, well, maybe he meant it just wasn't like the metastatic bladder cancer was no longer like multiplying. So we know an oncologist in Arizona. And so we thought he and Dr. Powell had texted Bob the whole oncologist.
Emailed
the whole oncologist report.
Actually emailed the report.
The report. So we could see where it said there's no evidence of disease. So we called this lady up in Arizona and said, we're not sure we heard what we heard. So can we send you this whole medical report and you can tell us if we heard what we heard? So she goes, yeah. And she was a friend of ours all summer. She kind of coached me through a lot of this stuff. So she called back, 40 minutes later?
40 minutes later, and she read this report I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah, and so she said, I started reading the report. She goes, I bawled all the way through it. And she said, there is no evidence of disease. So we got it twice. We got it twice.
When the journey began, Susan entered into a 10 and a half hour surgery at Loma Linda. And I sat with Suzanne and Sharon in the lobby starting early in the morning. And they didn't get started until hours late in the afternoon. Finally, Suzanne had to go home. And I just, you know, the doctor came out and said, you know, about halfway, he said, you know, we're still working on it. And I'm thinking, geez. When he finally came out at midnight, and I was sitting there completely exhausted, didn't know what he was going to say. He didn't look like a happy camper. He sat down in front of Sharon and I. Suzanne had to go home, take care of the kids. And he said, you know, this is one of the most difficult surgeries I've ever done. I dove into this, and 5 hours into it, I saw that this had spread everywhere and that it was aggressive. And I did as much as I could. And I called a friend who's a surgical oncologist. And he said, get down here now. I need your help. I'm in this 5 hours. We got to go after this. And for another 5.5 hours, the two of them, they cut her like a zipper. They were going laparoscopy before, opened her up, and they dove in, and they did everything they can. And he said, Bob, we did what we could. He said, the best thing I can tell you. And I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is this? 10 being bad as worse. And he said, it's a 9.5. And he said, at best. He said, you'll be lucky if you have her for Christmas. I give her 90 days to 6 months to live. And of course, I lost it in the lobby at midnight. My oldest daughter, Sharon, didn't know what to do with me because I was bawling my eyes out. And in the waiting room there, 10 and a half hours surgery. And you want to pick it up here, dear sweetie? Doctor's report.
Yeah, we just wanted to share this with you. A lot of you don't know the journey that a lot of you have been on with us since April. But yeah, the doctor gave a really tough report, and I remember he came into my room, 2 days after, and I shared this at Christmas. He didn't want me to really take chemo. He said,
enjoy your life.
Yeah, enjoy your life, maybe spend quality time, and I heard where he was going, and you heard me tell this at Christmas. I picked up my phone and dialed Bob, and I said, I don't want to hear this. And I told him, this is not what God has for my life. Tell my husband. And so he walked out of the room with my little phone talking to Bob.
So she started around the island, walking. That's her first walk.
I was singing. That was the day after. Here she comes, Miss America.
Why is your gown the other way?
Why is it what?
Your gown is backwards. Your booty ought to be showing. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know a whole lot. Boy, they put you on a lot of drugs.
You as a congregation jumped in and you began to pray. We as a body of people, you jumped in, you called prayers and fast, and yeah, Susan Krause got you going in a round-the-clock prayer. I mean, you had 24-hour prayer. It's gone all over national and international prayer lists, intercessors list. And in April, we had an encouraging victory because you know that she stood up here, she came into church, and she had, they found a spot on her bladder. We actually looked at it, watched it on the screen, and we saw the spot on her bladder.
That wasn't until later, though.
That was?
Yeah.
Okay, what
did
I miss?
I want to say this. I was actually able to get dressed, and I actually think it was maybe Mother's Day, and they'd unhooked all the tubes, and the Foley catheter bag was gone, and I made it here, I remember, and I think it was Mother's Day, and I asked you guys, this is really not a good report the doctor's given us, but please walk this out with me and pray with me, and my victory will be your victory. Just partner with me. And, you know, I honestly hardly knew what I was asking. I had never, of course, been through chemo. I'd been visiting a lot of people on chemo, and, you know, you think you're going to be the one. I'm going to just sail through chemo. I'm not going to lose my hair. I'm going to have a great appetite. I'm not going to throw up. I'm not going to lose, you know, and chemo is poison. And so I probably didn't know what I was asking, but I said, please pray with me and let's journey this together because in the end, we're all going to have a victory. Oh, and here we are. I can't believe it. So little did I know, we really have it.
You all, Many of you have been wearing wristbands, and that's our way. People look at the wristband. So we had an oncologist after the surgery, went to Loma Linda's oncologist, and the oncologist took one look at her and the path report and everything, and he said, I won't even treat this. And he said, 90 days, maybe, 6 months. And so we went away from there, our lip hanging on the ground, but we didn't give up. And I took
Let me
her,
just say this.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the things we did was like, God, show us which way to go.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way, walk ye in it. Every step of the way, that's one of the things we really did right.
We want to be careful to say, in any situation in life, whether it's medical or whatever the case is, you need to find out what God's telling you. Because in this, we had so many people tell us, do this, do this, do this, do this,
Don't do
this.
This. Yeah.
Don't do this, go here, go there, do this. You need to find out what God is saying. In the process, we said, well, okay, we're not going to give up. So I flew her to MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, sat her down, lead urologist, and this guy, MD Anderson is where all the celebrities and politicians go, and they have a special wing. And he took a look at this report, and he said, nothing I can do. The best thing I can do is send you to a friend in City of Hope in Los Angeles, and maybe he'll find some kind of clinical trial or something that can delay this a little bit, hold it back. But I said, do you mean this is not treatable? And he said, this we can slow it down, but it will eventually take our life. So we went to City of Hope, and we bumped into Dr. Powell.
Well, kind of didn't bump in. That's the guy, he said, of all the people, I'd send you there first.
He called in. He called from Houston, Texas, and asked Dr. Powell, lead oncologist for the City of Hope. This guy is brilliant. He's the lead oncologist just about everywhere in the nation right now. He graduated from medical school at 18. This guy is a genius. He called him and he said, would you please take this patient on? They're coming back to California. And he said, okay, we'll take it on.
They actually call him the Doogie Howser of City of Hope. He's 35 and he's a brain. He was on the Rose Parade float. And so that's City of Hope. Yeah, the next picture.
Okay.
That's me starting chemo.
Bear with us a little bit here.
Yeah.
So the intercessors went round the clock, as I said. You have the idea, I'm sure, that you think she was home reading her Bible and enjoying herself.
Yeah, you know, that's me on the sofa. That was me most of the time, carrying around a little bucket to throw up in if I didn't have my head in the toilet.
Dry heaves for 3 days.
Yeah, so, you know, I know probably a lot of you thought, oh, she's got all summer off, and, you know, she's studying and reading the Word, and honestly, that was me most of the time, and watching Little House on the Prairie reruns over and over, and, you know, I'd wake up and see the end of one, beginning of the other, and I'm out of it again. I can hardly tell you how terrible chemo is. And I'd call up for the intercessors, and I'd go, please just have them pray that I can keep food in me, because my, you know, your weight's dropping. But people from all over the United States started praying for me, and we heard of all these different churches that were praying, from D.C. to California to Huntington Beach to everywhere.
And you dealt with anticipatory nausea. Anticipatory nausea is the nausea that comes about when something in your brain is triggered, a smell, a sight, a texture, whatever the case would be. And there were certain things that she could be any place, perfectly normal, smell something, and immediately go into dry heat.
Bob would go, it's time to take your pill.
I always walked around with a little hefty bag, okay?
We had him in the car. We had him in the bedroom.
And those of you that have been through chemo, you know what we're talking about. We're just trying to paint the honest picture of the way things were for a reason.
But we want to say this. The support that we got, this is why we wanted to take a little bit of time from this church. I mean, prayer support. I had people leaving little gifts at my front door that I go, oh my gosh, it's a picker-upper. Soup and just presents and words and cards. And, you know, you just don't realize when you're laying around, oh, there's me bald. When you're laying around just feeling crummy all the time, you just have no idea how good it makes you feel, you know, knowing.
I called Cindy Jacobs, who was part of the International Intercessors last night, let her know the news. They're in D.C., and everything that you did, we remember Roger Sapp came. Roger Sapp came and did a healing conference. You know, he emphasized the fact that you can't earn this.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and it's not something you can earn.
Yep. And that's when Bob, my little chair is going to go out, by the way, but Bob goes, I'm going to put this chair for you down front. You can like go to sleep in it, camp out in it, just come to come in here, Roger Sapp. So this guy came, he was fabulous. You know, you always learn something when people have an anointing in an area mm-hmm. like this.
Of healing.
So it's like, what does he know that we don't know?
But nothing happened.
Well, he prayed. Yeah. And so he prayed for us, and I learned a lot more. And he's the one that said, if you could go back 2,000 years, he would heal you. And then the other thing I really learned, because we did some stuff that I would recommend to anybody. But, you know, and I was guilty of this. He'd say, stop praying, God, for your glory, just heal me. He goes, God doesn't need any more glory. He will heal you because he loves you. And, you That's know, it. When you can get that concept and lay in bed scared and think, he's just going to heal me because he loves me. He thinks I'm pretty cool. It's hard to get there, but it changes your brain.
Andrew Kabbalah.
And then, remember the next Wednesday, Andrew Kabbalah came. And again, he prayed, and he's a great guy. And for those of us who got prayer, and I camped on my little chair, and he said, if you're believing God tonight, God is going to heal you, put a sign in your house somewhere that says, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. So I went home and wrote that sign in July. It's been on my bathroom mirror since July. I took it off yesterday. And I'm telling you, I get up in the morning a lot of times, like 4 or 5, just go to the bathroom. And I can't tell you when, again, stage 4 cancer scares everybody. When you tell people this, like, hey, how you doing? It's, well, I'm fine. And you see their mouth close, and they don't know what to say to you. Because it's a death sentence most of the time. And I knew that. So I get up and I go, oh my gosh, I've got stage 4 cancer. And it's almost like this, I told somebody, it's almost like you're at the dentist and they put that big lead thing on you when you're taking x-rays. I get up every morning with this lead thing on me, heavy, going, I've got stage 4 cancer. Like, and I told somebody, it's like, who's gonna get out my Christmas decorations next year? Is it gonna be me? Or is it gonna be Suzanne at a garage sale? I mean, you just don't know. But I'd walk into my bathroom where I had that big sign, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And I think, whose report am I going to believe? I have a choice.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, yeah, every day I have a choice.
We want to say thank you to C3 Church, C3 San Diego.
Let me say one more thing about this.
Okay.
Let me say this. And so Andrew Kabbalah is Australian, New Zealand. And I didn't want to forget this. So he told us, he goes, call us after your next CAT scan, which is October. And nothing had changed. I'm like, I've gone through all this gnarly, terrible chemo, and it's still stable. Stupid cancer. But so we go, let's call Andrew. We're getting all the prayer support we can. And he's so funny with his accent. So we told him, we go, we want some more prayer. You have an anointing in this. He goes, well, that is totally unacceptable. It's like, yeah, you think? So he's from Australia, still praying for us, so that was pretty cool.
We want to thank C3 Church in San Diego, C3 Ministries. They came, Pastor Jurgen came, supported us. I could call him, and just, there were times when, I got to tell you in this whole thing, as the caregiver.
Oh, that's them praying.
As the caregiver, just leave that one up, Eli. As a caregiver, you know, I had completely planned for what the doctors had planned. You know, I had to be ready. You know, I laid in bed a lot of times during the surgery, not knowing where this was going. And I want to say to those of you that are caregivers that you understand that nobody understands what you go through as a caregiver, because I had to try to figure out what I was going to do with all of her clothes and be respectful to her, how I was going to empty out her dresser in respect, of what was I going to do with all the beer can jewelry she owns. I had to figure it out. Where am I going to live? I don't want to live here. Even things like, you know, our two little dogs, Roxy and Betty, who, when she's not there in the house, they don't care about me. They wander around looking for her. How would I explain to two dogs she's not coming home? You know, and in all that, Pastor Jurgen was such a support. They were great. Rock Church, Pastor Henny and Miranda, they supported us. They came and they preached just like Jurgen did. They brought worship team in to help us out, and people stepped in the gap. And then a good friend, Pastor Gary Johnson, him at Calvary Chapel, he called and he said, we want to meet you at your house with your elders. We're bringing our elders over. If you bring your elders over. And they stood in our living room and they prayed over her and anointed her and believed God. I want to tell you, it's a collaborative effort. You can't do this alone. Don't isolate yourself no matter what you're going through. You need other people, and other people count. It matters in your situation. They were so graceful. As a matter of fact, not only did they pray for you, they discovered a gas leak in our house and kept our house from blowing up, okay? So thank God for that, okay? You want to say this?
Yeah, and another thing that we did was, you know, if people are giving you words and they really feel it's from the Lord, like read them and listen to them. I'd get words people gave me on my phone, and I'd read them over and over and over, but probably 30, 35 years ago, those of you remember Dick Mills, an old prophet. Yes. He's dancing with Jesus right now, but yep. he got out of the car one day, probably 3 decades ago, and I was outside where the Children's Church is, and that was our main sanctuary, and I'm changing this little marquee, and Dick's so funny. He's not a real people person, but he loves God. He loved the Word of God. And so he gets out of the car and he points his little finger, big finger, and he goes, "Hey, God has a good word for you. You're going to have longevity in your ministry," just like that. And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." I'm telling you, that was one of those words that just went in me. And I didn't claim it probably way back then, but later, as things would come up, I'm going, "God, you told us I didn't have longevity in my ministry. So get me through this or get me through this." So when this came up, I went, "Oh my gosh, that word." I go, "Lord, you told me I'd have longevity in my ministry." And the Bible says this, that he bring God into remembrance of his word. And so I go, "God, I believe that was a word from you. I'm telling you, this is not longevity. 65 is not longevity. I'm going to be like, what can I say, 100, old, really old." And so I am not there yet. Yeah. Okay. So I would tell God, "I want longevity in my ministry." And the word says this. I wrote these down. I didn't want to forget. Wait. Revelation said you overcome by the blood and by your testimony. And I lay in bed in the morning because Bob gets up really early and I'm there by myself. And I pray this. I go, leave that just right there. And so I pray the blood of Jesus in my liver. I pray the blood of Jesus in my lungs, in my lymph nodes, in my gut. Those are the places where the cancer was. All in me. Jesus, I just claim that blood. I plead that blood because that's my case. That's my plea. And the other thing I did was start making declarations, because it's a lot to just lay there and think. But Jesus didn't think the world into existence. He spoke it. And so I started making declarations out loud. And when the dogs are still put away and Bob's up, and I'm going, "In Jesus' name, I declare my liver is cancer-free. In Jesus' name, I declare my lungs are cancer-free. In Jesus' name." And I just went through it making these declarations, and I'm going to have longevity in my ministry. And then I would get up. So there's just, if you haven't ever done that and you're just thinking, "Man, I wish God would do this," start declaring the word of God over Amen. Your life. Amen. Amen. It works.
Amen. Okay. Now, you know that she went through the bladder healing that I talked about. And she's still rebuilding her immune system. The chemo that she took in the first few months beat up her immune system, actually destroyed it. That's what it does while it's attacking everything else. And while it was attacking everything, that's destroyed. She is now on what is called immune therapy that builds the immune system back up. So she's done with chemo. So even though we are totally healed here, there is no cancer, which is absolutely and totally impossible according to the doctors, okay? We still go back for therapy in the immune system. So we have to be careful. If you have a cold, don't do this and do this, okay? But we are on a clinical trial and...
making progress. So I wanted to say this. I'm getting to be huggable. I'm still like this and I'm doing this and taking back readers and out there, but I'm still like having naps every afternoon, which drives me absolutely crazy. I just hate doing that. But I want to say this. Bob Lanier, I'm getting closer to my croquet game. He came up when I was so sick and said, because I love croquet, I'm really good at it. So he goes, "I'm going to challenge you to a croquet game when you're all well." And I went, "You got it." You know, and you kind of say that thinking, "Boy, I sure hope I can play a game of croquet with Bob Lanier." So I want you to know I'm getting there. Okay. And the other thing is, when we have our barbecue, our big church barbecue in June or July, you know, we always get this big rock wall. I always race people up and down the rock wall, and I couldn't even come this year. So I thought, this is the year I'm back up that darn rock wall, because I'm really good at that too. Up we go. So I'm up for a challenge.
Okay, we're almost done.
Let me do that?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so here's the deal. He's not excited about it. We have one
what
more picture.
What am I going to do, say no?
No, I wanted to do this. You know, it has been really tough. You guys have just been so great. I am so glad it's over. You just, I was awake till 2 in the morning. Matter of fact, when we heard the news on Thursday, I go, we are going to celebrate. I forgot all about this big Daniel fast we're on. So we went to 31 Flavors and ate ice cream. I don't know how other people celebrate, but I eat ice cream. And so then I went, oh my gosh, I'm on this fast.
When you're in your 60s, you go for ice cream.
We did ice cream. No, I mean, it's raining, it's cold, nobody's in there but us. But boy, we're having a really good time. But you know, it has its moments. I look back over this whole time, and I was awake till 2 in the morning just going, God, you've been so good to me. The challenges have been so horrific, so bleak at times. And other times you go, no, I am going to buck up and we're going to make it. But, you know, Bob learned how to pick up dog poop, and he can make cream of wheat without any lumps. He cleans the floor. He's just been great. So I got a new wig recently, and when I wasn't looking, Bob tried it on. Yeah. Okay. Now, is there the other picture there? Yeah, I'll keep that one. He tried it on. So he sent that to our daughters, and our daughter in Oklahoma photoshopped it. So she thinks she's pretty funny. So that's Bob and I with my new wig. Thank you, Eli.
Now, here's what we want to say to you. We're going to do something right now as a congregation. If you're a guest and visitor, just come along for the ride. We want to encourage you. This is not about Bob and Susan. Yeah. This is about Jesus, because without Jesus, there is no hope in life. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And the Father's the only one that has the love for you that can break through the trauma, the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the pain, the suffering emotionally and physically and mentally. It's not about us. It's a testimony in behalf of Him that He has not forgotten you. And in the midst of your situation, if you're a caregiver, don't give up and don't stop believing. It doesn't mean you won't have your doubts. It doesn't mean we didn't have our doubts. It doesn't mean that we didn't go through the times like, oh, I wanted to go someplace and just hide. And then you come back and you put a smile on your face, and you know, you work through your doubts. It's not that you doubt that is wrong. It's that you have to always go back to say through your doubt, don't let the enemy condemn you. Turn your thoughts back to Jesus, who died on the cross for you. And here's what we're going to do.
You're going to do that?
We're going to do one last thing, and then we're going to sing a song. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. Give me your wristband, baby. I'm cutting this sucker off of you. Cut it off of me. Oh, other way. Turn the knife over. There you go. Woo-hoo!
Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. He's under my feet, he's under my feet. You know Satan is under my feet. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? When he saved me, cleansed me, and turned my life around, set my feet upon the solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Here we go, say, look what the Lord has done. Say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Say, He healed my body, He touched my mind, He saved me just in time. Oh,
more thing. This is my day of celebration, so one more thing. I've told a couple people this. I read this recently. There they go. I read it, and it said this. I'm going to get it close. Satan came and whispered to me and said, "You'll never survive the storm." And I whispered back at him and said, "I am the storm."
There's something we must do. There's something we must do. If you are here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest healing of all is not the healing of a cancer, a broken body, but of a soul, a human soul that you know you have a peace in your heart. Life is full of trials. When there's a miracle, there's a trial coming. You're in the midst of a situation and circumstances and you don't know where to turn. There's only one place to turn. Please hear this. It is not Buddha. It is not Allah. It is not Krishna. It is not Muhammad. It is not Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, anybody else. There is no other name but Jesus. The thing I want to ask you here is, do you know where you're going when you die? Everybody in this room, we're all going to die. We're all going to die of something. Do you know where you're going when you die? We didn't ask you, and I didn't ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know about him? Do you read your Bible, or do you go to church? What I ask you is, do you know where you're going when you die? Because you're going to one day. God forbid, I hope it's not today. I hope it's not tonight. You lay your head down on your pillow and you never awaken again. The question is, when you do die, do you know you'll be with Jesus? Again, it has nothing to do with how much you know about him. Have you experienced him? Has he come into your life and given you the greatest miracle of all? And that is hope. When no matter what the world throws at you, there's courage in your heart. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to finally say where you're standing right now, Jesus, if what all these people say about you is true, then I give you a chance. I mean, come on, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? If you pray that prayer in sincerity and you say, look, if this is really real, I want this. If it's not real, nothing's going to happen and you didn't have an experience. But if it is real, you'll know the greatest miracle of all, and you'll have peace in your heart and in your spirit. You'll have courage and faith and hope that no matter what the world throws at you, you and your God are bigger than life's problems. Amen. As we finish here this morning, we're going to finish with that song again. And we're going to be, there are going to be people on this side. There's a green line right here. We put this green line right here because on this side of this line, there are going to be people that Susan and I know personally. They're people of faith, people that want to come into agreement. Jesus said, any two of you agree on anything. They're going to be here on this side to pray for you. No matter what your problem is, you need work, you need finances, you need a medical miracle like we're talking about, you have a relational problem, whatever it is, give Jesus a chance to be real in your life. And if you do that, he'll come and he'll meet you in the middle of our celebrating. And we're going to close the service with this song. Get a hold of somebody as we pray. And then we're going to turn this up one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We celebrate victories. We celebrate every victory, large or small. And we give you the honor. And we give you the glory, and we're going to do it closing this service with this song in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yeah. Here we go.
Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? When he saved me, cleansed me, and turned my life around, set my feet upon the solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? lost my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He saved us just the same. I'm gonna praise him with what the Lord has done. Can you believe what the Lord has done to me? Can you believe what the Lord has done to me? Well, he saved me, cleansed me, turned my life around, set my feet upon a solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done to me? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is saying. Look what the Lord has done. Touch my mind, he saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. I'm gonna praise him for what the Lord has done.
Frank and Jordan, would you do me a favor as we close the service? Would you go take that chair and get it out of her place and put it over there by that door? Go get that chair. Bye, Mr. Chair. Come on, let's do it one more time.
God just be glad.